on Racing HQ.
Racing HQ.
Racing HQ. Here's On the Pace.
Smolder lifting too strong. Smolder. The Kiwi has won the Endomainian.
But it is all Lazarus clear of Tiger Tara. And once again, Lazarus has arisen.
It's 28 to 11. Let's see what's been happening on Harness Circuit right around Australia. Greg Hayes has got his finger right on the pace. He's got it on the pulse as well. Morning, Hazy.
Morning, Cozzy. Looking forward to today's show. Lot to get through. Our guest this morning, we'll catch up with Aaron Goadsby, who's the trainer of Takara Truffle, who took out the Go Girlfriend Series final on Saturday night. We'll also catch up with Shane Sanderson, who got a double at Menangle on Saturday night. John Dummers is going to join us to have a chat about their... they've employed a youth development officer at Harness Racing New South Wales, so we'll speak to him about that. Also have a chat about the upcoming industry conference. And Shane Graham, who's the Australian representative at the World Driving Championships, is going to join me as well in the next half hour. Two, must apologise for the croaky voice. I've picked up the cold. But first up this morning, before we get to Aaron Goadsby, just want to congratulate Shane and Lauren Tritton on the announcement and the arrival of their son, Levi, who was born this morning at 20 to 8. So congratulations to Shane and Lauren. Both mum and bub are doing well. And Shane said that Lauren's already counting the days until she can make her return to the track. So good luck to Shane and Lauren, and enjoy parenthood with your new son, Levi. But Aaron Goadsby is the trainer of the very talented filly Takara Truffle, who took out the Go Girlfriend Series on Saturday night. It was Aaron's biggest win in the sport. It was his first Saturday night winner at Menangle as well. And he's joining me on the show to have a chat about it. Morning, Aaron.
Morning, Greg.
Mate, congratulations with Takara Truffle on Saturday night.
Yeah, thanks. She's been going good all season, and it's a good reward for her and the owner, and I suppose for myself at the same time.
Mate, a 153.5 mile rate win. She's a three-year-old filly. She was racing the older horses, and she's had a big season. She had a first run in October last year. She's had 21 starts this season, but she had to do it really tough on Saturday night. You must be so proud of her.
Yeah, she's been going good from when Mark Jones sent her over in New Zealand, and he done a good job with him and the team getting her ready. And she came over and got a bit of a virus when she got here, but after that we sort of picked and choosed our fights early and worked our way through the grades. And it sounds a lot, 21 starts for the season, but at the same time we haven't knocked her about. We don't work her that hard at home. Yeah, the wins have just kept coming consistently, and we went up to Queensland and had no luck, so the record could be better if we had some barrier draws, but anyone that's got a three-year-old can win 10 races in a season has got to be happy.
Well, you mentioned the barrier draws. Barrier draws weren't kind to you again on Saturday night. She drew 9, she came into 7, but taking on the older horses, it was always going to be tough for her, but you and Michael Formosa, your driver, came up with the plan to go to the chair?
Yeah, well, we thought we'd fire off the arm. Before that, she'd won 9 races all in front. And the best thing about her, if you fire her out, she'll still come back to you and settle. So we sort of weren't worried sitting in the desk. Truth be known, probably to sit outside the leader and Amanda's horse and go 153 was a little bit surprising to hang on, but that's what she does. She digs in deep, and she loves a fight. I remember back at Maitland, she sat 3 wide the trip one day, so... she never gives up, and, yeah, she's a pleasure to have.
So what do you do with her now?
She's having an easy week this week just to get over the run. As we said, she's had a few runs in the season, and probably go back to a 3-5 at Menangle the following week, and then Bankstown's got some heat and finals. I sort of want to steer clear of putting a three-year-old filly in an MO against the older horses, but... I don't think it matters at Menangle much now because the COs, they run 151, 152, so the MOs can run the same. So it doesn't matter what class you're in, you still got to run the time. So, yeah, we'll pick and choose, and I'll sit down with Charlie and next week and see what we're going to do for the end of the season. But, yeah, I'd like to give her a good blow sort of at the end of the month.
You've got a full-time job as well. You mentioned the fact that you went to Queensland with her. Obviously... would you look to go back and maybe pinch a couple of cheapies before stepping into the Metro Company here in Sydney, or are you happy just to keep pushing around New South Wales?
I don't know if Charlie will let me go again. we went up there and I think we had 5 or 6 starts, and we didn't draw a barrier, and even though we were racing consistently, the dollars weren't hitting the bank account, and when she built up a good record, you know, he thought she'd keep going on, but in that grade of that she was racing in, she raced well, and I suppose it was a bit of a holiday for me as well, and yeah, I might have to ask him, can we go up next winter maybe?
Sixth in the New South Wales Oaks, you turned her out straight away then. You brought her back for the Red Ochre. So you haven't been scared, and I guess once she'd won all those races early on in her career, it was tough to find races for her as a three-year-old, but she's had to race the older horses and the older mares from halfway through the season.
Yeah, and that's sort of what I said to Charlie when we came back in. I said, Charlie, I need to maximise every dollar she earns as an older horse, because she came back in and she was a C2, and now she's up to, I think she's up to 60-odd thousand, and it's pretty good for a three-year-old. But at the same time, I said, we've got to maximise what we can earn. We'll go in the better races. We'll pick up our place money and bits and pieces, and if we're going no good or we're not up to that top level, we can drop back to her assessment based on, you know, country or provincial racing and work our way through the grades. So I think we've placed pretty good, and she's earned nearly every time she's gone out there.
You've used a few different drivers. You've settled with Michael Formosa. Will he drive the filly going forward at this stage?
No set plans. Obviously, the cards were dealt when Guy got his time. And then Mitchell was on through the Oak series and a race before that. And he was, you know, he was going to be the guy this time in, and he chose to stay home and then go back up to Brisbane when I came home to drive Roy's horse. So I try to be loyal, and those who do the right thing by me, I look after them. And, you know, when Mick jumped on and steered her around in the heat, well, obviously you've got to stick loyal and leave him on for the final. And Charlie's had a bit of luck with Mick over the years, so there was no hesitation in putting Mick on.
What about her future? How long will the owner want to see her continue as a race mare? Will he want to get her out to the breeding barn pretty quickly? Obviously, she's only three. She could race for a couple of seasons comfortably. But what would the owner's plans be long term?
Oh, he'd love to breed a foal out of her, and as you know, it's been a topic of discussion when I was in Queensland. So I said to him, you know, I think this filly's going to win you 100,000, and We're on the right track, touch wood, and hopefully we'd like to push towards that. But she's going to come back, and she's going to be very tightly assessed once we give her a blow. She's a C4 now, so we've really got to look at Metro Racing every week, and the free-for-all sort of horses at Newcastle, the races don't stand up every week. So, yeah, we'll just have to come back, hope she stands up, and then see what we can do.
Is she the only horse you've got in work?
No, I've got two in work at the moment. I've got one coming over from New Zealand in the morning. Three is probably the limit. As you know, I sort of get up and work them in the dark before work. So, and then all the help I get around the stable. So, yeah, so three is the limit. It's probably enough at the moment.
You mentioned Mark Jones earlier in the interview. Did you hear from him after Saturday night's victory?
Yeah, he's always watching and throwing his little jibes in on Twitter. So we always know Mark's watching. He actually rang Sunday morning to say, don't forget me when they ring you for an interview. So he's done a good job, and I'm always in contact with him. And, I thank him for getting her going when we asked him to train her. And he done a good job, and he had her ready to sort of go when she got over here.
Tell us about this Kiwi that you're getting tomorrow. Is it a Mark Jones one? Is it obviously very good mates with Mark McNamara? Is it one that he's found for you? What's the story behind this Kiwi?
Yeah, it's a Mark McNamara bloodstock purchase. Mark sends through his list regularly to everyone, and I've sort of seen this filly, and we picked her out. We were lucky enough to buy her a day before she raced last week at Addington, and she won over there and led from the stand, and then, yeah, she got home in 57.4. She's a three-year-old filly by Betters. We didn't pay a lot of money for her. She won us 7,000 the other night, and we got a few dollars on the punt. So, yeah, all being well tomorrow, we'll pick her up and get her home and then see what we can get for her.
Well, mate, if Takara Truffle's anything to go by, you definitely have a knack with the fillies. All the best of luck with Takara Truffle for the rest of her career, and good luck with this new one that's arriving tomorrow.
Righto, Greg. Thanks a lot.
And there he is, Aaron Goadsby, the trainer of Takara Truffle, who took out the main race on Saturday night at Menangle, the Harness Breeders New South Wales Go Girlfriend Series final. It was a Group 3 race, and as mentioned, Aaron's first Saturday night winner, and also his first Group 3 winner. So well done to him. And Takara Truffle, she has been a standout filly. Look, she drew where she drew on Saturday night. I thought she was up against it, but she really gutsed it out late. And 3-year-old filly taking on the older mares and being able to beat them, huge performance. She had her first run back on the 19th of October 2016. She went to Bankstown. She won a race there by 12 metres, and she went 158.9 over the short trip at Bankstown. So that's pretty good going, and Aaron's taken her along very, very well. She's run 1/7, and she's also got about 3/6 to her name, and one of those sixths was in the New South Wales Oaks. So she's done a really good job for connections throughout the season. Let's continue our look at Menangle. Last Saturday night, Shane Sanderson, he picked up an early double. Trainer Shane Sanderson with I'm the Smoocher, who won race number one, and then he won race number three with Expressionist. Now, I'm the Smoocher is a really interesting horse. He's a former Kiwi. He arrived here in New South Wales for Shane. Took him 11 starts to break through and win his first race in Australia. But since then, he's had 9 starts for 7 wins and 2 second placings. It's taken a while for the penny to drop, but it sure has dropped. Shane's joining me on the show to have a chat about I'm the Smoocher. Morning, Shane.
How you going, Greg?
Really well, mate. Congratulations with the double on Saturday night. I'm the Smoocher. He must have been a little bit of a headache when he first arrived. Took him a while for him to settle in and win a race, but now that he's opened up the account, he just has gone to a new level.
Yeah, that's right, Greg. When he came over, I think the people he bought him off bred him, and he sort of hadn't left their property, and he come over here and he wouldn't eat and just was very unsettled, and we give him a couple of starts and thought we'd just turn him out and do the right thing. And we did that, and when he come back, from his first little break, it was a hottest summer on record, and we run into them bloody weeks where there was all 40-degree days, and that sort of knocked him around a bit too, being a Kiwi. So we just give him another little let up, and I think he might have won a race at Goulburn, and then give him another little let up and brought him back, and he's sort of, you know, he's really hitting his straps now. He's got no excuses.
Sent him to Queensland for a little while, let him find his feet up there. He had a really good time, won plenty of races. You brought him back to Sydney, and he's had the 3 starts here for 2 wins and a second, and one of those wins was a freebie in the New South Wales Rising Stars. So you placed him well to date.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Greg. I sort of took him up and gave him a couple of starts and left him with Grant to run through the grades, and we were tossing up there with the way he was going, whether we lead him up there for the Winter Carnival to target some sort of the Reckless Cup we were sort of going to target with him. And it was a bit of a toss of the coin, and I saw that penalty-free junior driver's race, so I sort of thought maybe that might have been as good an option as any, so we got him back down, and fortunately it worked out well, yeah.
So what's the plans with him now? He won his MO on Saturday night, so he and with his good recent form, he'd be pretty high up in the condition racing straight away in Sydney. So what do you do with him?
Well, the plan was if he could win on Saturday night, which he didn't look really overly convincing, but he did have a couple of little problems in the run, we're just going to give him another couple of weeks off. And there's a couple of, there's a couple of country cup races in Victoria that we just wanted to dip his toes in the water just to see how he'd go. So I think it's just about mid to late October. I think there's Swan Hill Cup and Yarra Valley Cup and Narrabarra Cup, those sort of races.
Would you consider throwing, you know, like, are you looking at some of the bigger races over the summer? Do you think he can take that step?
Look, I'm optimistic. I think he's got the credentials. He's he's pretty strong. And now that he's hitting his straps, he just sort of can park without cover and keep going, and he's such a good going horse. So, probably out of all the horses I've had for a while, I'd say if anyone was going to take the next step, he'd be the one.
Okay. What about Expressionist winning race number three? Had to do it tough. Very good drive. Very good drive by Jack Traynor, and in the end proved too strong.
Yeah, no, he's bounced back. When he's on song, he's never far away because he's got that really high speed. He seems to put himself in the race all the time, and he went really well for Jack. He hit the line as good as I've ever seen him hit the line, actually. And we're really impressed with him. The condition racing is certainly going to help him. He's bounced back last week, and he's under this new system, it's just going to give horses like him a bit of a lifeline.
Yeah, he was. He'll go around. Well, he's engaged in the first race on Saturday night, but he's also the first emergency for the level one race on Saturday. A couple of horses that interesting additions to the stable. Take to the Sky, formerly trained by Darren Binskin, joins your team races in the fourth on Saturday night. And Change of Mind, who you've had and I think you've always owned, but he's come back too after spending some time with the Langdons.
Yeah. Yeah, Change of Mind. I just he's a bit of a headache horse for me. He's got untapped ability, but he's just given me a little bit of grief there for a while. So we sent him away, and he did a pretty good job with him. They did a good job with him, and now I've got him back. And he's trialling today. Look, if he ever reaches his potential, he'll do a really good job. He's a bit like Expressionist. He's got really good speed.
And what about Chantry? It's back at the trials today, I see.
Chantry's back. He's another one that's probably going to, he's going to be thrown in the deep end with the new handicapping system for the first few runs with the prize money he's got earned. But, he'll trial today. We'll just see where he's at, and he may even look at, he's a similar horse, probably not as good as on the Smoocher, but he may even be able to be a travelling companion with him because he would suit the smaller tracks, and the longer distance would certainly help him. So we might even take him to Melbourne as well.
All right, mate. Well, congratulations with Saturday night. Big night for you. A Metropolitan double. Well done, and speak with you again soon.
Good on you, Greg. No worries. Thanks very much.
There he is, Shane Sanderson, who is the trainer of I'm the Smoocher. He's a real up-and-comer in New South Wales and won his MO on Saturday night, and now will look towards a couple of country cups in Victoria, which is quite exciting. I want to catch up with John Dumazy this morning, and just before I speak with John, and I just went through and had a look at the four Saturday nights that we've had the condition racing. Now, not every race on a Saturday night is condition racing, but I've gone back and had a look. There's been 17 races run over those 4 weeks. The average price winner in those 17 races is $10.50. There has only been three odds-on favourites. Tiger Tara was two of those and won both times, and Cyclone Kate was the other. 41% of the favourites have been successful in those 17 races, and the average starting price of the favourite in those races is $2.40. Those figures tell me that condition racing is working in New South Wales. I'd be interested to get John Dumazy, the boss of Harness Racing New South Wales, his thoughts on that matter as well. Got a couple of things to speak with John about this morning. Morning, John.
Morning, Greg, and that was good to hear Shane Sanderson talk about those horses. He's had some success lately, and the one that he named after you, I'm a Smoocher, it's great that's really doing well.
Mate, first up, let's talk about your new youth development officer, Barry McColl. Harness Racing New South Wales they've invested a lot in the future talent of the sport, and Barry McColl's an important part of that.
It is, Greg, and Barry McColl is the correct person for this role. He has a very long history in the education area, and a very esteemed history in the education area, especially in the sporting parts. But Barry will, over his tenure, which is initially for 2 years, will put in place some very good modules for our people coming out of the mini trotters, people being involved in the mini trotters, but also importantly, those young licensees that are looking for a career path in harness racing, and not only licensees. It may be that there are young people out there that want to become farriers or administrators in the sport, and he will be able to help in that regard as well.
So, is he full time or is he part time? What's the plan with him?
He's full-time. He's based in the country, which assists, because he'll be able to get around to those country areas. And some of the things that we've already got in the planning stages are really exciting. When the UHRA were advised of this appointment last week, they were very enthusiastic about what we can actually achieve with a youth development manager. And Barry McColl is the right person for this job.
12 months ago, very successful industry conference, and I noticed on your CEO's blog last week you were talking about another one for the sport.
Yeah, this one is not as deep as what that one was last year, with looking at a wide range across a lot of areas. This is more aimed directly at the clubs and the associations. So to keep them abreast of what's required with corporate governance and other initiatives that Harness Racing New South Wales have undertaken, it's more a refresher of what goes on at the HRCC, that's Harness Racing Clubs Committee meetings, every 2 months. So it'll be a great weekend. We start with an information session at Paceway Bathurst on Thursday night, and that's for all licensees, and that is worthwhile going along to. 7 o'clock there, and then on the Friday and Saturday, of course, we have the conference. We talk about those initiatives and other corporate governance matters that the clubs need to be have knowledge of. And then, of course, on Sunday, we have the Alabar Breeders Challenge Regional Finals, and it'll be a 10-race program and an outstanding program of racing. So it's four good days of harness racing activity in Bathurst.
Now, I mentioned those statistics from the condition racing. The fact that you're getting an average price favourite of $2.40, and you've only had three odds on favourites in the 17 races that have been run on a Saturday night under those conditions, that's got to make the head of the sport happy.
It certainly does. The numbers are very promising, extremely promising. We will analyse these pretty deeply. The move that we make at the end of this will certainly dictate where we go. For the Metropolitan meeting, but possibly where we go for the rest of the state. But I say possibly there. It's easy to contain when we're working with a group of horses that are Metropolitan races. But it was fantastic this week. 74 nominations.
Wow.
For these races. So and where they flow through to, of course, is to the Tuesday meeting. So they help the Tuesday meetings as well.
That's huge. 74.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very promising numbers, extremely promising numbers. Some of those are crossed in other races, but not to a great extent. But no, it is promising, but we won't really reveal what the analysis is until we have a full month of the wagering, and we have the full month of the past 4 weeks of wagering from Tabcorp. But when we feed into that, what the corporate wagering operators holding, we'll have a real picture. But it is promising. The biggest single thing that must come out of this is participant satisfaction, and that is purely measured on one area, and that area is called complaints or disgruntled members of the fraternity. To date, we've only had two complaints registered with me. But if anyone has got a concern, they can always call me. But those complaints will be looked at. Certainly there will be some tinkering with the conditions, but only very minor that we've noticed so far. But it's thumbs up as we go forward. And this could be even a method for the Metropolitan tracks that could be introduced nationally.
Well, John, thanks very much for joining us, and we'll catch you again on the show pretty soon.
Certainly, Greg.
There he is, John Dumsey, boss of Harness Racing New South Wales. Those statistics, $10.50 for the average price winner. And look, it's only a small sample, and there was on one occasion a $64 winner and a $32 winner. So that's going to inflate the average price winner. But the fact that there's only been three odds on favourites in 17 races, and two of those were Tiger Tara. It doesn't matter what race he goes in at the moment, he's going to start a short price favourite. He went around in the Blacks of Fakers, an even money chance. And the fact that the average starting price in those 17 races is $2.40. I think that's a clear show of what condition racing can do for the state. Shane Graham, he's going to represent Australia at the upcoming World Driving Championships in Canada. Australia, it's been a while since we've had any success. We've only had two drivers take home the World Driving Championships, and the last of those was 30 years ago. Teddy Demler did it back in 1987. So can Shane Graham do it 30 years later? Well, let's hope so when he takes part in Canada from the 12th of August. He's joining me on the show. Morning, Shane.
Morning, Greg. How are you, mate?
Mate, really well. You're looking forward to next month's challenge?
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's been sort of a countdown, and now it's only a few weeks away, and yeah, no, I can't wait.
So it's obviously a big thing for you because you step away for the best part of 2 weeks to go to Canada to compete over there. But I guess in a sport where you've been involved since you're a young kid, you don't think about a chance to represent your country too often when you're competing in harness racing.
No, definitely not. You know, like it's something that I sort of didn't even, you know, like you see the people that in the past have done it, and you see them and you think, oh, I'm no chance of sort of getting to do that. But for it to come true and that, you know, it is, like you said, a dream come true, really.
And have you had the opportunity to travel to Canada in the past, or is this going to be the first time for you?
Nah, this will be the first time getting over there.
And, you know, you'll be driving at five different tracks: Century Downs, Mohawk, Georgian Downs, Hippodrome 3R, and the Red Shores Racetrack on Prince Edward Island. So you're getting a chance to taste all the different, a number of different tracks over there as well.
Yeah, that'll be the best part. You know, we'll be able to look around the place and, get a feel for all their different tracks and that. So that'll be exciting.
What sort of study, if you like, can you do? Can you sit down and have a look at the races that are run at those tracks to try and learn something about the style of racing over there, or do you prefer to just turn up and take it as it comes?
Oh, it's probably just, you know, turn up, take it as it comes, you know. Like, I'm sure, you know, as it gets closer and whatnot, I'll sort of look into it a bit more, but at this stage, we'll just take it as it comes.
Well, mate, we'll be cheering loudly. We wish you all the best of luck and good luck over there in Canada starting from Saturday, August the 12th.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks very much for that.
There he is, Shane Graham, leading Queensland reinsman, who goes across to represent Australia at the World Driving Championships, and Sky is getting right behind this. I'm actually heading over to Canada with Shane, and we will be covering the five meetings that they are driving at in full here on Sky Racing, and I'll be bringing you all of the action through the relevant tracks and keeping you up to date with what's happening. So good luck to Shane Graham. There's also another two drivers who would go across that we know very well. Dexter Dunn is defending his title from 2015. He won that here in New South Wales. And Mark Purden is the Kiwi representative. So Shane Graham, Dexter Dunn, Mark Purden, all heading across to the World Driving Championships, and we'll have all of that covered for you on Sky and, of course, here on Sky Sports Radio as well. Cozzy, that wraps it up for me on a Tuesday. I'll be back again next Tuesday with another edition of On The Pace.